at the Majeskis and got that on video, and I tried to send that out this morning, and I wanted to hear it again. Praise the Lord for that great song. You know, we're at the halfway point of the year. Did you realize that? You're halfway through the year here on July 5th, 2026. I was talking to Brother Sarge yesterday, and Sarge had prepared the food for the men's prayer revival prayer meeting. We had a great time. And he was saying, you know, I've already got the menu in mind, including the brisket, for the watch night service. And I thought, wow, that's something. And he said, you know, we're halfway through the year. And it's a good time for us to think about it and reflect, because we're halfway through the year. And also, we just had our July 4th picnic, a wonderful time, and a time to, you know, reflect and then to look forward as well to what is happening. And so this morning, I would like to ask you to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 7 in your Bible. I trust you brought your Bible, 1 Samuel 7. And I want to think about a hymn this morning that I have sung and you have sung, and I'll quote you the hymn. It goes like this: Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. And here, as we're looking at 1 Samuel 7, we see Israel at a time when they had gone away from God. They were worshiping a false god, the Baal. And they were experiencing defeats in their life and distance from God. And now they realized, we need to get Jehovah's help. And so they went to the preacher, amen? And they said to the preacher, you know, would you pray for us? And the preacher offered up a sucking lamb as a sacrifice, which is a type of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. And he raised up an Ebenezer stone because of that, which commemorates God's helping them. That's what Ebenezer means. The Lord helped us. And so I'm talking to those of you that have seen your sin. You have seen that you need to be reconciled to God, and you've cried out to God for his saving grace, and the Lord God has shown you in the Bible the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that takes away your sin. And now you're a believer in Christ, you're a born-again Christian, and you want to hear from heaven this morning. And the name of my sermon today is from 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, and I'll read that verse. It says, Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and pursued the and then it says that Israel got the victory. They pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. The name of the sermon today is, Here I Raise Mine Ebenezer, verse 12 of 1 Samuel 7. Now, hitherto hath the Lord helped us is what this is all about. Ebenezer is a stone commemorating, listen to me, God helping you in your life. How many of you can say, I can look back and I have experienced God's help, his supernatural help, his providential help? Amen. Now, I'm thinking of Brother Joe, who's here today, and I know he puts up stones on his property where he has his father's grave site, his mother's grave site, and the commemoration of Eric and his passing is up there, his son, and so forth. And he also has, I think they're called Karens, am I right? And they're stones that commemorate certain things in Brother Joe's life and family that he wants to remember. And he'll put a stone up to help him to think about those things right there on his property. You know, I went back to Grand Rapids, and my mother's house was sold, and we had to remove all the stuff out of the house. And I think about my Grandpa Bloom, my dad's dad. He came from Holland in Europe, but he lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And his job was to engrave memorial stones, to put on grave stones memorials. That could be put up and erected in cemeteries to remember these people who had passed. I believe that's where we are this morning. I believe it's time for you and I to look back, then to look up, and to look ahead, which is exactly what the setting up of this stone meant in 1 Samuel chapter 12. In other words, when Samuel the preacher set up this memorial stone, he wanted to help Israel to memorialize past help from God. And by the way, when you do that, it helps you to strengthen your faith for what you're going through right now. And it helps you to see that God has provided his supernatural and providential help. You know, at this time in Samuel's ministry, it was going to be a ministry of 60 years. That's how long he was a preacher, a prophet in Israel. And he's looking back now. He's looking up. He's looking forward. You know what? I looked at my ministry, do you know, not as a pastor only, but as a preacher and as a man helping our preacher. I have been 55 years total in this ministry at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. 55 years. And it's time for me, for us, to put up a memorial stone this morning to look at the victories that God has given us in the past so that we can look up right now in the present and also not be afraid of the future. Therefore, this morning, after the 4th of July picnic, after our 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, right here in the middle of 2026, right here in this service, I want to raise my Ebenezer stone. And the name of the message is here, right here, I raise my Ebenezer. And I want to say three things to you about that. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Number one, here is a time for you to look back to the Lord's past help. You know, I'm thinking about a year, 2017, and I was on a nine-month sabbatical from church. I was out of this pulpit, listen to me, for 9 months. How many of you were here in 2017 when I was out of the pulpit for 9 months? How many of you were glad? No, I'm just kidding. And I was out of the pulpit for 9 months during that time. And we needed God's help. Our church needed God's help, and we cried out to the Lord. I remember people crying out to the Lord for God's help during that time, and I was very thankful for that. Now, today, 2026, how many years is that later? Well, three, six, that's about 9 years later. I can look back at that year, and I can read past entries in my journal, and I can see how God helped and delivered us from captivity. Let's just do that this morning. Think about that and thank God for that. And then I think of how the Lord helped Israel. As we're here now, Israel, I'm talking about, during this time, they were thinking about Eli and his sons. Remember Eli and his sons? He was a high priest that was not a real strong leader for God. And he let his sons lead Israel. And they were committing fornication with all the pretty girls that came there to worship God. And his sons, who were acting as priests with him, they were taking the offerings that were offered to the Lord and eating it with the fat still in it. When only God was supposed to eat the fat, they were supposed to boil it off and God could eat, because God doesn't get fat like that. But they were getting fat on the offerings of God's people. And God said, I'm going to kill those guys. I'm going to kill those guys. And God did it. And they could look back and see how God took the sons of Eli out of there, and they died in battle. And also Eli died as a judgment of God. You know, we can look back to 2016 and Hillary could have been the president, that wicked witch of the East. She could have been our president. Thank God he gave us Donald Trump instead and answered a prayer. And then we look back to 2024? What was it? When was the presidential election? Bob, help me. 2024? And it could have been Kamala and the cackling that we would have heard from that White House and the demon rat party, which has sold itself to the devil, like I've been saying and continue to tell you. We could have had that, but God heard us, and God helped us, and we love this land, and we can look back and thank God, and Israel could do that. They tried to continue to worship Baal and say, oh, we still worship God, and they tried to use God's ark as a rabbit's foot, you know. Oh, we'll bring that into battle, and God's ark will give us victory. Let me tell you, if you have sin in your life, don't expect the Lord. Unconfessed sin, don't expect the Lord to help you. And God let the ark be taken, and the Philistines defeated them, and they were discouraged by that. But God, you know, he was making their god Dagon, the statue of their god, fall down on his face, and he kept falling down before the ark of the Lord. And all that had happened, and then the ark was returned, and it was in the home of Abinadab for 20 years until David later brought it back. All that happened, but during this time when the ark had been recovered, Israel realized we need God's help. Boy, do you feel your need for God's help today? You should feel your need for God's help. If you don't, that's not a good place to be. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means I need God's help. The Laodicean church doesn't need God's help. They got all the money they need. They got all the food they need. They got everything they need. Listen, we need God's help. That's what we need. What my professor said at college, what we need is God's blessing. We need God's help. And Israel realized that. And why did they realize that? Because the Philistines were going to attack them again. And they said, oh, they beat us before. And they took the ark and all of that. We don't want that to happen again. And they went to the preacher. I'm tired of people that when I go to them and talk to them and I say, where have you been? Oh, I'm too busy. Don't you get sick of that? God's sick of that. I'm too busy, preacher. And I say, if you're too busy for God, you're too busy, period. Where are you? I need God's help. You need God's help. Here I raise my Ebenezer so we can look back and think about the times that God has helped us. And they went to Samuel, and Samuel told them, you need to put away your sin. You need to confess your idols. And if work is an idol and work keeps you from church, you need to put God first. And so they did. They got away. They got rid of Balaam, it says in verse 4. They confessed their sin. They got rid of it. And the prophet then offered a sucking lamb, which points to Christ. And when you come to God, you can come through Christ, and he does forgive your sin. And he wants you to turn back to him with your heart. Are you serving God with your heart? Or are you just going through the motions? And the Lord gave Israel that day grace to defeat their enemy, the Philistines. And we can look back and thank God for his victories that he's given us when we come to him confessing our sin, when we come to him needing his help, when we come to him depending on Jesus Christ, and we come to him in prayer. Listen, God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will come to you. And I'm looking back not only at 2017, but I'm going way back to 1997, 1998, and 1999. How many were here for those years? Do you remember those years? Yeah. I think, Mrs. Sabatnik, you were a treasurer then. You were taking care of the books. And you know what? There wasn't enough money to pay the bills during that time. We went through 3 years of famine. And you know what? I didn't get any pay for those years. And I had to get different jobs. I was holding down about five jobs. Some of them were paying me money. Some weren't. One of them was the pastor. I wasn't getting paid any money. And yet God helped us for those 3 years to keep turning on the lights, to keep preaching the Word of God, to stay with it. And I remember that time. And then we came through those 3 years, and our church got, as Joe likes to say, barned again. Have you been barned again? Our church is barned again. And you say, what happened? Well, Brother Joe heard on the radio about a barn that was being given away. Right, Brother Joe? And Brother Joe heard about it, and he got that barn. And I think it cost, to move it and everything, about, what, $38,000 or something like that? It was some form of money. I don't know what it was. But then Brother Joe started selling all that stuff, and he decided to give it all to the church so that we could pay our bills. And guess what? They were able to pay me, this church, all 3 years of back pay. And not only that, he kept selling the wood, and it just kept giving. That was the gift, that barn that kept giving. And now we're talking about it today. Our church was barned again back in 1997, 1998, and 1999. Thank God for that. Have you had God's financial help in the past when you needed it? When you decided, I'm going to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, I'm going to trust Him. I mean, He's helped us so many times in these areas of our life. And God is the one that keeps giving these gifts. And we need to raise our Ebenezer to think back of what He's done. But some of you, maybe you're discouraged this morning. You're fearful in your present circumstances because of spiritual problems you're going through. Health problems you may be facing, maybe financial challenges that you have. And I'm saying this is a time right here today, July 5th, to raise your Ebenezer and realize God has helped you in the past. And God is not a daisy God. You know what a daisy God is, right? She loves me not. He loves me not. God is not a fickle God. The Bible says He loves us with an everlasting love. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change His mind about you, and He doesn't change His mind about God's people. He will chasten you, but He will help you if you confess and turn back to Him. I believe some of you need to do that today, and then you can raise your Ebenezer and say, there's a call for me to look back and think about the Lord's past help. But secondly, here I raise my Ebenezer. Here is a time for you to look up for the Lord's present help. Not just to look back for His past help, but you can look up right now today for His present help. It says, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. But God doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, Israel was facing a present crisis with these Philistines attacking. And as they looked back in their immediate future, they saw that they had lost and they had been defeated. I think if you look back in your immediate future and you've had failures, a lot of times it's failure to pray, failure to depend on God, failure to walk with God. It's our own sin. And so look at verse 3, and let's read it and the message to Samuel and see how that applies. It says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You notice the word only there? You know what we tend to do? Two-time God. You know, sometimes people two-time their mates. They have something on the side. A lot of times when a mate is doing something strange, I'll say, is there something else going on there? Somebody on the side. And that happens to Christians. That you love the Lord, quote, but you also love some idol in your life. And you can't do that because the Bible says it's impossible to serve God and money or something else. He says, I want to be first place. I want to be your only God. And to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your... What is it that's sapping away your mind? What is it that ties up your emotions away from God? The Bible says in 1 John 5, keep yourselves from idols. You see, this morning as you look back and as you look up, if you want God's help, God is a jealous God. And he's not going to help you while you have some idol, some rival to him. No, he wants to get your attention and he wants your heart. I believe there are some believers today. I know it's summertime. People are on vacation. But you don't take a vacation from God. I believe there are believers that are AWOL. Too busy for God. Having too much fun for God. Oh, but when they get in trouble, oh, I need God. Oh, preacher, help me. God says, no, give him your whole heart today. Serve him now with your whole heart. In the sunshine. In the summertime. And Israel saw their need of prayer. Look at verse 5 of chapter 7. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. You're going to be here at prayer meeting on Wednesday. Don't miss the gatherings where God wants to have us pray. And they gathered together to Mizpah, verse 6, and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. When's the last time you fasted to the Lord and prayed? Oh, we feast a lot, but do we fast to the Lord to get his help? When's the last time you fasted for the Lord? I'm talking about for the Lord, not for your health or something else. When's the last time you did that? And said, we've sinned. When's the last time you really did business with your sin? And Samuel judged the children of Israel in verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And look at verse 8. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. That's what we need today. We need to get back to that today. And then Samuel took that sucking lamb, which pointed to Christ and the reason for God to answer their prayer. And God came through. He answered their prayer. And that's why Samuel set up this stone, acknowledging God's help in the past and God helping them right then and there in that battle. You know, when this church really started, when we were in Baptist Bible College in the dorm one, the men's dorm, and some of us got together and we said, you know what? We don't have God answering our prayers. We haven't been wholehearted with God, and we're not getting answers to prayer from God. We're not getting God's help. And we started praying in dorm one that God would help us. And the Lord did that, and he got a hold of us. And have you been praying and getting God's help, or have you been kind of prayerless? The Bible says, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. Are you praying for others? We need that. And we need to come depending upon the Lamb of God. And God has a reason to bless us because of the Lamb of God. And that's what Samuel did. He offered that lamb. And that was a reason that God blessed him, because that pointed to Jesus. And he's the reason that God can bless you. Remember in the book of Revelation, John is weeping. And he wants the kingdom of God to come to earth. And he sees Satan's power. And he sees how strong the world is. By the way, I'm sick of seeing the power of Satan. I'm sick of seeing the power of the world. I see it all around me. I want God to bless with revival. I want God to bless to bring in his kingdom. And John was weeping, and one of the elders came up to him, you know, the 24 elders, and said, you know, why are you weeping? He said, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he pointed him to Jesus. He said, he can open the book. And you know what? As a lion, Jesus will fight for your causes. But then it says in Revelation, he stood there as a lamb. And as a lamb, he is the reason God can hear your prayers after you've sinned and cleanse you from your sin. Because it says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You want God's help? Look at Jesus as the reason that you can get blessings from Almighty God, because he's your representative. And so the Lord helped Israel in their present need. Look at verse 10. I'll read it again. It says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. You know, yesterday I was preaching and the Lord was thundering and the clouds were coming and the rain was coming and he was thundering, you know, and I was thinking about the power of God, but that power was against the enemy. It's great when the Lord fights for you as a lion. You know, he's a pretty good watchdog. How'd you like to have a lion as a watchdog? Yeah, that's a pretty good watchdog. You know, he's our we can get behind the Lord, and he watches over us, and he helps us. So I'm saying it's a time for you to look back, and a time for you to look. You know, I needed help in Michigan. I was out there. My wife worked 2 weeks. My daughter worked 2 weeks to empty a house that had 70 years of buildup. And my dad, he had built up so much in that house. I mean, he bought oil on sale, Brother Bob. It was just like gallons of oil, and he had it all in the garage. That was just one thing. He had fishing stuff for every kind of lure. He had tools for everything. I mean, I'm not that kind of guy. My dad was. I'm just like, Lord, how can I get rid of this? I want to sell it. I want to give it away. I want to burn some of it. I want to put it in dumpsters. We used 3 different dumpsters, 30 yards of dumpsters over a period of time. And let me tell you, still that house. And I was like, Lord, I'm the only guy left now. My wife left. My daughter left. They were there for 2 weeks. I was putting my second week in. Now I was the only guy left. I said, God, I need help. And guess who God sent me? Deacon Steve Gary. The guy that preached, trust in the Lord and do good. And he came out there and I tricked him. I had him play golf for 9 holes. I said, I'm going to take you out, play golf. And we had fun at Indian Trails, my boyhood golf course. And we played 9 holes of golf. And after that, it was nothing but grueling work from morning till night. I said, at the end of the week, we'll play golf again. No, we never played anymore. God, that was it, man. I am amazed that we got all that stuff out of that house. And I was told we would get fined $500 a day or something if we did. I'm not sure about that, but it was in my mind. And I was like, God, how are we going to do it? You see, God helps you. And here I raise my Ebenezer today, and it's time for you to look back to the past help of the Lord. Here is a time for you to look up for his present help. And finally, here is a time for you to look forward for his future help. You know, some of you, you're not able to look forward. You look forward with fear this morning. I'm afraid God's not going to help me. You know why you're afraid? Maybe Satan has hit you. Maybe the world has hit you. Maybe your own sin has caused you some loss. But that doesn't stop God's help. Ebenezer means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What he's saying is if he helped us in the past, he's going to help us in the future. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't change? You know, sometimes my wife loves me tremendously. Sometimes she doesn't. Women change. And then it goes back and she loves me again. And then, yeah. But we men, we're supposed to represent God. And I love you no matter what. It just doesn't change. And that's the way it is with God. Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord. I change not. To you that are afraid of the future, 2 Timothy 1 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Get a hold of your mind. Don't let Satan get you all afraid by all of these thoughts in your mind. I'm thinking of Brother Jose Gonzalez. He's battling with two kinds of cancer. One is pancreatic cancer. And that one is a scary cancer, isn't it, Brother Jose? That to the world, that's a scary one. But you know what? He can look back to the Lord's help. He can look up to the Lord's help. And he can look forward to the Lord's help. And I've seen it in his life. And we're praying for him. And I believe that God sees these things and he wants to help you. You have a God that has helped you in the past, and he will give you grace when you need it. And have you ever, I've done this, watched a ball game and you got so tense, your team, you wanted your team to win. And most of the games I watch are recordings of past games. The game's already over when I get to watch it, you know. But I don't let anybody tell me the score. But sometimes I jump ahead, I have to tell you. And then I can go back and watch the game, and I'm not afraid. I'm like, oh, this is good. My team, everything's going to turn out all right in the end. You know what? That's what the Bible says. Everything's going to turn out all right in the end. I read the last page of the book. I find who's going to win. It's not Satan. Yeah, it's going to get pretty bad. It's going to look like Satan has all, but God warned us. That's going to happen. But read the last page. It says that we and our Prince Jesus live happily ever after in his kingdom, my friends. And you can look forward to the future. As you raise your Ebenezer and look back to how God has helped you, you can raise it right now and realize he will help you in the future. You don't have to be afraid. Brother Jesse, you're going through some things. God's helped you in the past. He's helping you right now. And he will help you in your future. So what's the motto? Stay with God, right? Stay with his word. Stay with his work. Stay with his people. I would tell you, if I'm not a member of the church, I'd say get into the church and become a member. Do what God wants you to do. And if you're not saved, look at the Lamb of God, Jesus, and put your trust in him to save you. He will save you, and you'll be saved forever. He will not fail you. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. He'll take you across the river of death. We've had some people that have left us and they're on the other side because of Jesus. Look back to his blessings. Look up today for his blessings, but look forward to him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything in between. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. Please raise your Ebenezer this morning. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.